Hey everybody, this is Catherine, and you're listening to the Currency with Catherine podcast, the show that teaches you about all things money, but not just money. We approach money through a holistic life lens because all aspects of your life are connected. That's why we bring in other elements like mental health. When you're confident in your financial capability, all other aspects of your life will improve. And we're live. Welcome back to another episode of Currency with Catherine. We have another special guest here today. I have Miss Rachel Poffenroth. And she is going to talk to us today. Like, she is just a wealth of knowledge. Like, I'm just so excited for this podcast. But to describe Rachel, she is a clarity and a confidence coach. But I'm going to let her tell about herself. I'm not going to tell about her. Rachel, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Catherine, for having me. And I'm actually really excited to do this particular podcast. I love when I get to share with people that are outside of the traditional world of who I usually speak to, of people who are looking for help with, you know, specifically mental health or how to handle trauma or how to handle disappointments in life or how to get through the next level. So being able to talk to a completely different audience and share how our internal landscape shows up externally in our external experiences is a fun way for me to play with some of the concepts that I already teach and offer them to a different group in a way that's practical and relatable.
Yes, no, and that's another thing, you know, a lot of people may not realize what they're missing out on because they're only in like one particular area. So they're constantly exposed to like the same media. So it's definitely good, like, to have people from outside of the medium to come in and share their wealth of knowledge, because someone may be like, man, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And especially in the wealth area or relationships, like what I teach is that all of our experiences are representations, reflections of what is going on inside of us. And so anything can only ever be a reflection of you or an expression of you. It's kind of like, for example, let's talk about, you know, alcohol. When you see people and it seems like, you know, they're drunk and they become a little bit more flirty or they become a little bit more angry or they become a little bit more whatever, what you're actually seeing is just who they are, you know, times 10, right? It just gets expressed in a more voluminous way. And in the same way, our relationships are expressions of us, our vehicles, our houses are expressions of us. And so too is our money, our bank accounts, our style of living, the things that are important. It always comes back to what we value, what we prioritize, and what we believe. And when we take those three things and we put them in together, it doesn't matter what area of your life you're looking at, you can see those things being represented and reflected back to you so that, and it's for you, right? This doesn't happen to you. It's for you so that you can see it and be able to change it. Otherwise, you know, it's like a fish in water. If you never took the fish out of water, it would never know it was in water. So sometimes we have to have these experiences or situations come up that kind of get our attention. They shock us, they sadden us, they cause us suffering, they cause us pain, and that's to get our attention. So that's a big thing, especially in the money world, where we just can't seem to get a breakthrough, or we just can't seem to get to that next level or go through the glass ceiling, you know, whatever it is, wherever it seems like there's some kind of resistance, there's also some kind of resistance that's within us. And it often comes from childhood of somebody said something and we programmed ourselves to say, I'm never going to have money because, you know, I heard this at church, or I saw my parents got a raw end of a deal because someone took advantage of them. So I'm never going to have money because I don't want to take advantage of people. Or we set up these beliefs that people with money have power over us, right? And we don't want to ever be in that position where we're having power over people. So it's these little nuanced beliefs that we create as children that we don't even realize that they're there, but they keep on affecting our lives. And so what I help people do is try to create flow in their lives, try to look at areas where you might not have seen something as visibly, because you're so used to operating that way, right? Like say you had a sweater on and you never took your sweater off and that sweater just kind of became part of your skin. Like we don't think about, oh, I'm looking at my skin today. It's just part of you. And so same too are these beliefs about money. And so it's really important to holistically look at the whole picture, not just what's on the spreadsheet. And coming from a financial background, I was able to do a lot of testing with my theories of watching people coming in and they would invest with us, but then I'd watch them do these self-sabotaging behaviors with the rest of their life financially, where they could be so much further ahead. And then they would come to me at the end of the year and I don't know what to do, right? And I'm trying to advise them, I'm trying to help them get to the next level, but they're not congruent. They're not fully on board with it because there's a part of them that's dug the heels and saying, yeah, but if I do that, people are going to think this about me. And so then they've created these resistance blocks where it doesn't matter any amount of what they do. It just doesn't seem like they can break through that glass ceiling.
Wow. I know you've already dropped like 10 gems on us in the span of a few minutes, but tell us more about you, like the type of people you help, like what exactly is your business? Because when we say a clarity and confidence coach, someone may be like, well, what does that mean? They may know what clarity is. They may know what confidence is, but how do we bring that together? And yeah, just tell us about that.
Yeah. So the way that I bring it together is I explain to people that I'm a self-wealth expert. So when you want to do anything in your life, it's really important to know that it's going to line up with who you are, for starters, right? Because so much of our life is built around living according to somebody else's map or the way that somebody else has told us that we need to live our lives. And so we're trying to do all the things, whether it's making money or in our relationships, we're trying to do all these amazing things in our lives, but we're not getting it. And that's because we're trying to live out an old paradigm. So you know how the big cities, they grow so much and so quickly that sometimes, you know, Google Maps can't even find a specific house that you're looking for because it hasn't been updated. And it's like us. That's the same with us, where we're living out our parents' map or our grandparents or whatever society era we were born into. But 20, 30, 40 years down the road, it's not relevant anymore. So it's really important that we figure out what it is that makes us tick. And then from that place, we build out our desired life. We become the author of our story, not thinking that we live in somebody else's story.
No, I love that so much. So tell us, let's just say that you said that you're a self-wealth coach. So tell us about that. If we wanted some ways to like increase our self-wealth, what are some things that we could do?
Well, when I'm explaining self-wealth to people, I feel that there's three levels of progression and they're all aimed at investing in yourself in ways that can pay dividends. So level one is knowing thyself, right? Socrates said it's so important to know thyself. And the reason that it's so important is because you're just going to end up on dead ends and doing U-turns if you keep on, like I said, living according to somebody else's map. And we've done way too much of that in our lives, right? We don't have time for that anymore. It's not fulfilling. And so the first thing is to know yourself. What is your power zone, and igniting that potential, you know, finding out what is it that makes you tick? What is it that lights you up? What is it that makes you unique? If there's 350,000 different species of beetles, how many different versions of the human is there, right? So I always tell people, be you and be new, because the world doesn't need another whoever is out there, right? Doesn't need another Trump, doesn't need another Elon Musk, doesn't need another Oprah. They need you and your unique specialty to share or to guide or to come up with the next invention. And it's amazing once we allow ourselves to be who we are, the ideas and the ways that we can connect dots is so different from what anybody else has, because they haven't had your past, they haven't had your experiences, and they haven't felt your pain. And often problems are, or solutions are created out of a problem that we've experienced. And so I might have be a problem solver in one area, and you are a problem solver in another area, and Catherine, and then there's somebody else who can problem solve in a completely different area. And our unique twist is actually the foundation for what the next person is going to take it and run with it, right? It's kind of like a totem pole where we just keep building off of each other, and every step is important. Like I run ultra marathons, and it's, you know, 55, 60K, sometimes more. Every step is important. If I didn't take a step, I wouldn't finish the, you know, go across the finish line. So it's important that we each play our part. And then level two is about loving yourself. And this is where a lot of joy gets activated within you, and you start to bloom into your magnificence, and you're celebrating and delighting in who you are. And you kind of just become your best friend, because no matter where you go, you're there, right? And you become your cheerleader, and you drop off that mental battle and those inner fights, because so much of our energy goes into that every single day. And we start to regain energy and vitality. And then level three, we get into how we can uniquely express ourselves. And this is our freedom zone, where we begin to radiate our individual light. And from this, this is the place, after you've gone through those first two steps, this is the place where you really start to see, oh, I could offer this as a service. And then, you know, I would generate a little bit of extra money. And you never know when your idea is going to be the next big thing. Like we saw fidget spinners, for Pete's sake, become something major, right? And there's, to me, there's very little value in a fidget spinner, but millions and millions and millions of dollars were generated from such a simple idea, because somebody was trying to solve a problem where kids were fidgeting, giving them something localized to play with, help them to keep themselves at least in their body and not all over the map. And so you can see how once you walk down that road of knowing yourself and then loving yourself so that you begin to trust and appreciate and honor and celebrate yourself, out of that comes this desire for individualized self-expression. And out of that comes your mission. And from your mission, you're going to find all kinds of solutions and ideas and ways that you can help people. And that's the key to making all the money that you've ever wanted to make. But you got to go through those steps. You can't just get straight to the money. You got to know what makes you unique so that you stand out, because there's a lot of noise. It doesn't matter if you're on social media or you're on Amazon or wherever you're trying to sell your product or your service, there's noise. And the only way I say to stop the scroll is to be unique, is to stand out, it's to give that shock factor, to be different. People are so tired of seeing the same thing. And that's like my kids, right? Always doing these TikTok dances. And I'm like, do your own, for Pete's sake. Stop doing what everybody else is doing. And when they do, right, then all of a sudden it goes viral. So it's the same thing with us. If you want to be viral, if you want to be contagious, you're going to have to stand out, because being the same as everybody else isn't contagious. People are looking for different. They're looking for what inspires them.
Would you say that people often confuse their self-wealth with their self-worth, or maybe or they underestimate it?
100%. I feel that self-worth, the idea of self-worth, was the lead-in to where we are today. And so it opened people's awareness to an idea that it's important to cultivate internal value system. But the problem is, when I'm from a financial background, so when I'm, you know, talking with people about worth, we're still, if you're looking at a net worth of somebody, you're looking at assets minus liabilities, and that equals your net worth. But we do the same thing with ourselves when you're focused on what your self-worth is. We're saying, these are my assets, this is what I'm good at. Here's my liabilities. Here's my past or the things I'm not proud of or the things I judge myself for. And then here's my net worth. But that's so wrong because you're a human. You're not a spreadsheet. And so all of those things play into your uniqueness. Without them, whether you're proud of them or not, without them, you wouldn't be who you are. So self-wealth is about accepting all of those things and finding ways to invest in yourself in ways that can pay dividends. And that can be anything from doing what lights you up, what excites you, so that you have more energy. Like, we don't always know. It's not a mathematical equation like finances are. It's something that it will pay dividends, but we don't always know where the dividends are going to come from. Sometimes it can be that we invest in ourselves and then we become so magnetically attractive that we attract our life partner because now we're vibing at a certain level. Or sometimes we get a raise, or sometimes maybe a stiffness that we had in our back gets alleviated because we're paying attention to ourselves and the body doesn't need to try and ask for attention anymore. So we don't know always where the exact dividends are going to come from, but they always do come. Every time you do invest in yourself, every time you do prioritize yourself, which I know sounds like such a foreign concept because we're taught not to, but it is so crucial because whatever the flavor or the essence that's inside you, it radiates out everywhere. It affects everything. So if you're a little bit judgy about yourself, you're probably a little judgy about other people. And then you might, you know, offend some people because you're being, you know, very close-minded or judgmental. But if you could just open that up to a space of acceptance, now you're accepting yourself, you're accepting other people. And all of a sudden, maybe you just put down some walls that didn't need to be there. So your perfect partner could walk into your life, but otherwise they wouldn't have before because you might've judged them away.
No, I'm sorry. That was like, that was so much knowledge just in one part. So tell me, like, what? So we talked about self-worth and your self-wealth. Can you tell me, like, what do you think is like the number one thing that's holding people like from realizing like what they truly can bring to the table?
I think it's just that we've been so conditioned right from childhood to live the status quo life. And we were so indoctrinated with it, you know, from the point where we'd sit down to eat dinner and you're told to eat everything that's on your plate, even though you're full. So we become desensitized to our stomachs. And then you're in school and you put your hand up, ask if you can go to the washroom, and they say, no, you can wait. And you're like, actually, I can't, like, I gotta go. But then we become desensitized to our bladder, and then we become desensitized to our need for sleep, and then we become desensitized to our need to be in nature, and then we become desensitized to the things that light us up. So all of these things, I feel, all play into it, but it's just a programmed and a gradual desensitization of the things that used to be important to us so that we can get the good grades, so that we can get the accolades, so that we can, you know, do the things that we think we're supposed to do, so we can follow in these footsteps of these people who we actually don't even want to follow in the footsteps of, right? If you look at all the billionaires, the creative geniuses of the world, like Elon Musk and, you know, Oprah and Richard Branson, like, these are people who did it their way. And so I really encourage people, find out what is you, like, who are you? What lights you up? And from there, you're going to say, okay, now I know that. Now, what do I do with it? Right. It's like, what's my purpose? And so then we get into a values matrix and that kind of stuff within my course. But I really feel that that desensitization is our growth opportunity. And as you grow through it, you start to find different things that light you up. So one thing I recommend to people is just to reactivate that sensitization. I believe that within all of us, we have an inner spark. And so we want to ignite that inner spark. And by doing that, what you're going to do is say to the world, hey, I'm showing up for me. Now you can also show up for me, because we can't expect others to do for us what we're not willing to do for ourselves. And so I encourage people, find 15 minutes a day. It doesn't sound like very much, but this is so powerful. You will see things change in the first week of doing this, I promise. I find 15 minutes a day to do something that you absolutely love that lights you up, something that's like painting or singing or something that you just have kind of put on the back burner that you used to love to do, but you have told yourself that you're too busy or you're too tired or you don't have the resources to do anymore, and start doing a little bit more of that, because it's what it's going to do is it's going to open up your awareness to what else is possible. But it's also going to give you a sense of importance, which then translates into, well, if I'm important, then, you know, maybe my ideas are important. And if my ideas are important, then maybe what I have to offer to the world is important. And so you can just see as it snowballs into other areas that really everything, and this is the core of my message, everything that you could ever want or need or desire is always within you. And I actually just made a YouTube video about this, and it was on my Instagram Live, where I was talking about how a seedling, when it's growing, you know, if you think about a seedling, if it's stuck inside the shell and it's cold and it's dark and there's not much going on there, and that's most of our lives. We're like these little seedlings stuck inside our shell. And then we begin to germinate a little bit, right? We feel this restless energy that wants to grow. And so we stick like a little toe out, you know, a little root, and we're like, what's outside there? Okay, it's a ground. It's not harsh. It's not going to hurt me. Okay. It's safe. And so then we stick a few more toes or roots out of the little shell. And eventually we decide, okay, now I'm ready to grow. But the amazing part about the seedling and all seedlings is that all greatness, like its fullest fruition, is genetically coded into that seed. So it's genetically coded for that little seed to become an apple tree and produce more apples. Just like you are genetically coded already, it is already within you of who you are and your fullest expression of yourself. And so I encourage people just to start taking baby steps towards that. And one of those baby steps is 15 minutes a day. And it might be that you love painting. And then you might want to start taking painting classes. And then you might think, well, I would probably teach this different, so maybe I'll try teaching courses about painting, but I'm going to do it with my flavor. I'm going to, you know, take humor and painting or whatever it is, right? Like try and incorporate other aspects of you into it and make it yours, make it unique and make it stand out.
Love it. So Rachel, bear with me. So we have this person, and so they know what their purpose is. They know what they want to do. And then they take that first step, like to going towards their purpose. And then life just happens. Like the baby gets sick, like the car blew a tire. Now I have to work overtime. What are like some of the common pitfalls that people are going to go through as they're like on this journey? And what are some things that they can do to make sure they get back on the path? Because I feel like a lot of people will, like, they'll be on the path to, like, what they want to do, and then just life happens and everything mm-hmm. derails. So we want to get people back on the horse, as the saying goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, one thing that I offer to people is we go through, this is why most resolutions fail, is that there's three stages to creating anything. And so I encourage people to break it down into tiny chunks. Like I use the moon system because I believe that nature is there to live in harmony and to support us. And so a new moon's when I set intentions. Full moon is when we start to see things that are fully illuminated that maybe we didn't want to see, but we need to see. And then after that, we get into the harvest. But what happens is most people, they go through phase one where we're all excited about creating that new thing, the new business or diet or whatever, new intention. And then they hit phase two, like you're talking about, where something comes up. And again, everything happens for you, not to you. So what is actually happening behind the scenes that you might not be aware of because you just seem to be totally engulfed in the circumstance is that what is coming up is the things that you need to see. Because if you take your set of beliefs right now and you overlay them into a newer, up-leveled version of you, you know what's going to happen is you're going to end up self-sabotaging in one way or another. And so the universe lovingly says to you, look at this. Notice this is coming up. You've got a belief here that's going to sabotage you, and I don't want it to sabotage you. So look at this right now so we can work through it. And then once you get that resolved, we can move you on to phase three. So I really believe that, yeah, whatever it is, your baby gets sick, somebody ends up in the hospital, car accident, whatever, it's all to get your attention, because you always look at, right, well, how does this make me feel? And within how does this make me feel, or what does this mean about me, is that belief that you need to work on that's actually holding you back. And so that becomes our resistance point where we've got the gas pedal going, but without realizing it, we've also got some brake systems going on. And that's not how you're going to get to the next level. You need to have full gas, right? Or otherwise, you're just going to wear your brakes out, wear your tires out, wear the engine out. And you are the engine. So we want to just be moving straight ahead. But so then these things come up, we say, oh, interesting. Look at that. Okay, that's not part of my existence anymore. I don't need to have that in my world. Thank you for showing me it. I'm ready to move on. And then you might get tested again once or twice again with the same experience in a different world, a different area of your world. But it's all just to keep on showing you, okay, it's not quite dealt with yet. Okay, now it is, right? And then it's like green light. So that's kind of how I encourage people to see these things, like expect, anticipate that they're going to come up. And if any of your listeners listen to Abraham Hicks, one of their most common sayings is, if you know what you don't want, then you know what you do want, which is brilliant. Mm. But the thing behind that is, if you know what you don't want, what's behind what you don't want is that fear. And it's the fear that's going to show up in phase two. So it's really important when you're like, okay, I want to do this. Before you get all excited about doing that or becoming that or losing the weight or making an extra $10,000 a month or whatever it is, why? Ask yourself why. What am I running away from? What am I trying to avoid? Because that's the core of that belief. It's going to show up in phase two. And if you know what's coming, it's so much easier to deal with it. It doesn't hit you by surprise. It's not a curveball that just shows up out of nowhere.
I hope everyone has been taking notes during this podcast. I mean, like, Rachel's giving this information for free, everybody.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, pulling little nuggets out for you guys because I always want to add value. I believe that that's what life is about, right? If we can add value, not just monetary, but it, you know, through our time or through our teaching or just through, we can be generous in so many ways.
Yes, no, I agree. Like for people who maybe they haven't checked out you or they just don't know anything about you, I know that you offer a 5-day self-love challenge. I know like self-love is kind of like from our conversation earlier, it's something that a lot of people are missing out on in our generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's been skewed to think or to be taught that it has something to do with self-care, which it doesn't mean you need to go spend money and get massages and get your nails done. Although those things are nice, I don't classify that kind of self-care as self-love. The way that I identify self-love is, what was the first thought that you had when you looked in the mirror in the morning? Was it, oh, look at my wrinkles, or I'm so tired, or I got to get my hair done, or, you know, it's some form of life deflating thought or idea when you looked in the mirror. If it was something like that and not the way that you would talk to your child, like, good morning, I love you, or good morning, sunshine. If it's not that, then it's time to up-level that self-love relationship that you have with yourself, because no matter where you go, it is always there, right? And like I said before, it gets pushed out of us and reflected back to us. So if you don't like the experience that you're having, or you seem to have a same bosses that maybe don't respect you, or you seem to be in relationship after relationship after relationship where your needs aren't being met, just look at, how do I treat myself? Do I talk to myself this way? And then appreciate that this person's willing to bring out that little nasty side in them to mirror that stuff back to you. So we bring the onus back to us. And that's, in one way, it can be frustrating. You know, that when a dog looks at itself in the mirror, it barks because it doesn't know that's its reflection. But once you start to work with this, you start to realize how empowering it is that you actually do have the ability to hear the messages that life is trying to share with you through your experiences, to make little tweaks, just like as if you're a scientist in a lab, and then to go about making changes in your world by doing the work inside. Our internal landscape is reflected externally and magnified in the external world. So we want to make sure that what's being magnified and reflected back to us is that which we desire.
Love it. I'm going to be sure to put the 5-day challenge in the show notes, and then also a link to your website for people who want to get in touch with you. But also heard that you are starting up a new course. It's called You've Got Miracles. Yes. Number one, I love that name, but can you tell us more about the course?
Yeah. So where I am on my personal evolution is at the awareness that, like I said before, we can create, we have the power within us to create the life that we desire. And a miracle, people make it seem like it's so abstract and it's so far-fetched and it's so hard to attain. But a miracle really is just an interruption in a pattern. And so we live our lives with these patterns, and all of a sudden something amazing happens and we're like, oh, it's a miracle. But actually, all it was you changed your perspective of something so that something else could come into your life. And so we have to be willing to let go of certain things or see things in different perspectives. And that's what this course is about, is I take people through 7 different levels of awareness. And each level of awareness brings with it new ideas, new opportunities to get to know yourself better, to love yourself and appreciate yourself more, to have compassion for yourself, and then also to have curiosity of what else? If this is available to me, what else is available to me? And so as we walk through the different levels, we start to touch into the different ways that we hear messages. So the first, you know, few ways are more elementary, and that's, you know, looking at the messages our subconscious gives us, looking at the messages our conscious mind, how it hooks into certain things. And then we move into the messages that your heart can give you. And then we move into starting to get into more intuitive ways of being in the world. Because if you look at the greats of history, they all talk about it, how important it is to touch into their intuition, to make decisions that support their purpose, to make those intuitive decisions that are going to have them going green light, green light, green light, green light, and not just being hit with, you know, a truck that's sideswiping you, right? So we can actually cultivate that in our lives. It's just that we're not taught it. So it sounds super foreign and a little bit woo-woo, but it's actually really basic. And I teach it in a way that even, you know, the kids that come over that are friends with my kids, that the younger two are 8 and 10, even they understand it. My daughter has been teaching this to her boyfriend because it's just the way that we talk in our house. And if we talked more like this to our children wouldn't have to battle so much with the mental and the emotional aspects of life. They'd just be able to go, oh, okay, this means this. And then at the end of the course, as I'm walking you through these different exercises, you don't really realize it until you get into the level 6 and 7, that we're actually creating a visual vision board of your life. And so you're going to pick out the things that you value and the things that light you up. And that way, when you look at this visual vision board, you can have opportunities come across your desk or be presented to you, and you can say, yes, that's a fit. or no, it's not a fit. Because I promise you, as soon as you start becoming visible, you're going to get hit with all kinds of opportunities, because I do all the time, where people want to collab with you, or they want to partner with you, or whatever, and some are a fit, and some are a definite no. And when you know what's a no, you're not worried about it. You're not in your head going, oh, am I pushing something away that I should let in? Should I let it in? I feel like I should, you know? And we play this should game instead of just being like, it's a fit, it's not a fit, and just let it be, right? Because as soon as you close the door, as soon as you make space for what wants to come in, all of a sudden it does come in. But if you have something, if you've entertained an idea, an opportunity that is not for you, and all your time and your energy is consumed in that, you don't have time and energy to actually be part of an opportunity that is a fit for you. So it's really imperative that we know what is a fit and what's not a fit.
Man, if no one else tells you that, I love this episode.
Hopefully
the audience loves this episode also. But man, Rachel, that is all the questions I had for you. Do you have anything else you want to tell the podcast family?
Well, I sent you an email. And it's
right.
It's called homework. Questions. Because, you know, what I have found in teaching money courses or even in teaching my self-wealth course, because I do incorporate a lot of the financial aspects into it, is that there are, and this is right out of my course, so anybody who's listening to this is actually getting kind of a sneak peek, and I don't share this openly. You won't find this on my YouTube channel or on my Instagram, that there's really 7 ways that we can increase flow in our life. So if it feels like you're kind of bunged up and money isn't flowing, these are 7 clues that you can do. And even if you did give yourself 7 weeks and each week you pick one thing, I promise your life will turn around financially, because what you're doing is basically taking a truckload of Drano and cleaning the pipes out by doing this. So do I have a few minutes, Catherine, that I can share those?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll go through them really quick. The first level is giving to yourself, which is becoming the source of your own happiness. And we've kind of touched on that a little bit, that whatever you're trying to get from out there, from other people, from the money, from the relationship, whatever it is that you're looking for, that seeking is actually blocking the flow of it in your life, because whatever's missing is actually what you're not giving. So you're the one who's blocking that up. And the first place that you must give is to yourself, because you can't give what you don't have, right? So whether it's acceptance or unconditional love, appreciation, you know, pick a need and ask, how can I give this to myself? And we teach others and the world how to treat us by way of example. Just like a parent, you know, in our family, we try and demonstrate respect for each other, because I honestly don't think the kids listen to a word I say, but they absolutely mimic everything that I do. And so by teaching the kids what it looks like to be respected, to be loved, then I am teaching them how it works for me. And so we teach the world what we need, because sometimes we need to say, not angrily, but sometimes we need to say, you know, I don't appreciate that. But then we look at it and go, actually, that's reflecting, you know, a belief in me. So what can I do for me? So when all of our own needs fall by the wayside, we get exhausted physically and emotionally, and then we're out of alignment, and it's difficult to be there for anybody else. So the first thing, the first level is giving to yourself. And I know this doesn't sound like it would have anything to do with money, but I promise you it does, because your world can start showing up for you when you start giving to yourself. And that's just honoring your stomach, honoring your bladder, honoring your sleep system, honoring your need to be more active, honoring your need to be social, whatever it is that you feel you need. And some days it's different than others, and sometimes the day it's different than others. Just honor what you need. Give yourself that. So then in that thing that I emailed you, there's the exercise. It's just a few questions, you know, just to trigger your thoughts around this. So then level two is forgiving. And again, this is another area where we don't think it has anything to do with money, but everybody who I have ever dealt with who has money issues, specifically debt, because debt means I owe you, right? And so does forgiveness. And those two are energetically very much entangled. So forgiving is about releasing and letting go of the story that's holding you captive. And what I explain to people is, I don't care if you ever forgive anybody else, because your relationship with yourself is the most important. So work on forgiving yourself. And remember, like I just said, I see forgiveness as releasing and letting go of the story. So it's just saying, you know, I don't need to hold on to this idea that things should have been a different way anymore. So the magic is in the word itself, forgiving. It's about giving and not giving. It's about extending yourself and not withholding. Unforgiveness is a state of contraction. So if you think of a pipe that's been nicked or squeezed, there's not very much that's going to get through. So when we're contracted, all these pipes are backed up with sludge and debris and nothing's flowing. So forgiveness is about the relationships first and foremost with yourself. Only when you're able to forgive yourself are you able, you know, to then forgive others. And like I said, I don't care if you ever forgive anybody else, but just forgive yourself and allow your past to be what it is without constantly regurgitating it and trying to make it something other than what it is, because the brain does not know the difference between actual and imagined. So every time you relive that memory, the brain thinks that you just went through that exact same experience again. And we don't want to keep re-traumatizing ourselves, right? We want to move on. So no longer is your energy going into energizing this internal battle, but now it can be put back into your life and your creation. So now you have more energy and vitality to do other things. So again, on this level too, then there's questions in the handout. The third level is giving up, which is about letting go of habitual resentment, criticism, judgment, complaining, or physical habits that are not congruent with the highest version of you. And that's in order to fully expand into the new, we need to let go of the old, because something more is always trying to emerge out of us. But if you're holding on to these heavy vibrations or these heavy habits, they're actually holding you down and blocking that flow. And if you've ever heard yourself say anything like, it's too hard, or I never seem to get ahead, or why is it so easy for, you know, other people, and you found yourself feeling jealous or judgmental or resentful, you know, it's, we're asking ourselves, you know, are these things life supporting? And of course, this is usually accidentally, we don't often do this on purpose, but you are aligning to those lower frequencies. Even if you feel like you have a right to be angry, sad, does it feel good, right? No, it doesn't. Our feelings are the bridge to our circumstances. So we need to give up feeling bad, because when you're in a higher vibe state, you're going to attract more higher vibe people, more higher vibe experiences. So we want to move out of these old habits of beating up on ourselves and judging ourselves and wondering why we're not where somebody else is, and just be like that little seedling, right? Allow ourselves to unfold at the right rate that's perfect for us. And level four, the fourth way that we create flow in our lives, and this is financially as well, is by giving in. So surrendering to your highest good, surrendering to that impulse, that calling in your soul, letting the protective acorn shell, you know, break open and allowing that mighty acorn of your being to emerge. And we're all ready for expansion, but we're so afraid of, you know, the little seedling that's putting his little roots out. We're so afraid to even do that, because as a child, you're always in trouble when you colored outside the lines. But as an adult, you're allowed to do that. So start coloring outside the lines. So the questions are, for this one, are all about what's in me that's ready to emerge. How can I embody that? Level five then is about giving thanks, because what you appreciate appreciates you. And I know there's a lot of conversation around, you know, having a gratitude journal and that kind of stuff, but it is so important, because when you can start appreciating, what happens, you'll write down like 50 things, and then you kind of are like, I don't know what else to appreciate. what you actually do then is you start appreciating the tinier things and then the more nuanced things. And then you kind of start to go through this cycle. And I call it the arc of gratitude. And it goes like this. You start with, you know, you don't feel like you have any specific reason to be grateful, but you practice the gratitude. And then you move into this place where you're just like grateful for everything. And you're like, oh, I'm grateful for that tree being there today. And I'm grateful for that cute little dog smiling at me. And I'm great, you know, and everything is just like an opportunity for gratitude. And then the third part of that cycle is you become grateful for no reason. You just wake up and you feel great. And you're like, I don't even know why I feel great, but I do. I feel grateful, which that's what grateful is about, right? Is seeing the greatness in things, seeing it to its fullest. So when you can look in the mirror and you can be grateful for you, you can see how great you are and how absolutely whole and complete you are in your greatness. Now you've got something. And so then the questions are talk about, you know, what cycle of gratitude am I in? Level six then is about giving away. And giving away is about releasing things that you don't need anymore. And this sounds so simple. And this is like material things, right? So these are all the things that you're holding on to in your closet, your cupboard, in your garage, all those things you haven't released. And this is why it's so important, because when you realize that everything you own is an extension of you, you consider asking yourself, what is it saying about you? When you hold on to things that you've maybe outgrown or that don't represent your current level of evolution, you're actually holding on to that stagnant old energy. And this is spring, right, guys? We're in springtime right now. So it's a perfect time for spring cleaning. So not only are you holding on to stagnant and old energy, but you're also holding on to things that you no longer need. And you know why you're doing it? Out of a fear of experiencing lack and scarcity, meaning that you don't actually believe in the principles of abundance. But as you release what you no longer need, what you actually do is you create space. If you were to fill up a cup with water and then try and pour more water into it, it has nowhere to go. It can't go into the thing. So we need to clear out our closet so we can make room for new clothes. We need to clear off our desk so we can make room for new ideas. We need to clear out, you know, whatever it is, because all of these things are tied into that fear. And we don't want to activate that fear by holding on to these things that we've outgrown. So we take a step and we say, okay, I've outgrown it. I'm making space for the new. I'm ready for the next stage in evolution. So I mean, this is such a big thing. Like that's where feng shui came from, right? As moving energy through rooms and through your house. And one of the big principles in feng shui is really that minimalist idea, because you don't want to hold on to things that carry with them stagnant energy or a fear of lack. And then level seven, which is giving forth or giving out. It's all about giving your time, your talent, your treasure, especially in the areas where you're holding back. So we give our time. That's about serving others without condition or expectation. We give of our talent, which is about giving more value through your abilities. And we give of our treasure, which is about giving financially to your source of spiritual nourishment, whether it's a church, whether it's a course, whether it's a book, whatever it is. And the reason that we do that, this is where the whole idea of the tithe comes from, is that you're saying, I'm always supplied, I have enough, and we're going to participate in the flow of life through giving my treasures. And so the same is true with our time and our talents. Are you able to, you know, volunteer for an hour a week? And you never know who you're going to meet there, right? Sometimes we just do these things and then we're guided to the most amazing collaboration opportunities. You know, are you able to help somebody out? You might go help out at an old folks home and they might give you a nugget of wisdom that's the exact answer that you need. We just never know where this is going to pay us back. But when we participate in the flow of life, you're always led to the next best idea. So these are the seven different levels of how to create flow in your life, whether it is flow in your relationships, flow in your money, you know, it affects every area of your life. But the more you participate in life, this is the key to all of it. The more you're willing to participate, the more life can play with you, right? So we don't want to play with just five cards that we have in our hand that we're holding close to our chest. We want to play with the whole deck of cards, right? We want to be able to have access to all of it. And I know that's, you know, a lot of the people who are in your listener group is they're struggling trying to figure out, how do I get more money? How do I play with more cards? How do I have more opportunities? This is how, by creating flow. But we have to be the ones who step out and do it first, so that the world then can reflect that back to us.
Man, I'm going to have to do this homework for myself. I'm also going to encourage everyone else to do the homework for themselves. But yes, if, like, Rachel worked so hard on this PDF, like, it's very colorful. I wish I could show you all. But if you want a copy, please reach out via email, send out a message, and we can get you a copy to you.
Yeah, I just, you know, what I felt into how I could, you know, give them my talents and my treasure and my time, it's really just to bless people, right? It's like, well, why am I holding this back to only in my course? But with your group specifically, I love what you're doing. I love how you're helping people and just giving them a little bit of hope that if they understand that there's some tools out there that maybe they haven't had access to, because, you know, as a roofer, the right tools, when I'm on the roof, when I used to own a roofing company, the right tools make the job so much easier. And that's what you're doing, right? Is you're giving them the tools so that finances don't become this overwhelming struggle. And so I wanted to offer this to you and to your listeners to support you in a way to say, I 100% am on board with the way that you are giving to your group, giving to your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I know, it's like this is definitely one of the longer episodes, but I don't think anyone's going to notice because of just how much wealth and knowledge and just that you just dropped on everyone. So I hope I hope this episode is a hit with everyone and they really walk away that they have learned something, especially with the self-worth and self-wealth. I definitely didn't know the difference before you talked about it. So now it's making me go, I need to go back to the drawing board and look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah, we always, there's growth opportunities always. That's what life is about, right? It's, we evolve and then we dissolve. And it's just a continual process of that. So we just keep on growing in those opportunities that are presented to us.
Yes. Well, Rachel, I think we're going to end the show right here. Anything else you want to leave us with a last word of thought?
No, I think my biggest thing is just take the time, make yourself a priority to invest in yourself in ways that can pay dividends so that the world can see you prioritizing yourself and it can prioritize you.
Love it. Well, we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Currency with Catherine. I'm going to put all the links in the show notes, so make sure you check it out. And then make sure that you go check out Rachel's website, because she is just wonderful. She's dropped knowledge, and then she's also given us homework to do. Good homework.
Awesome.
Take care. Thank you for tuning in to the Currency with Catherine podcast. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and join the Currency with Catherine Facebook group for daily financial literacy topics. Be sure to visit our webpage to stay up to date on our monthly events and to book a free clarity call with me. Let 2022 be the year you get your finances in order. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next episode.